G'day, this is Pastor Les Gomes from Transformers Christian Church. It's our desire that the message you're about to hear encourages you and helps you identify some valuable insights about your life and situation. As you listen to this message, it's really important that you think about how you can put what you learn into action. The only way you're going to see your life transformed is by putting the things you've learned to work. The Bible says we need to hear the word and also do it. Now, let's get into today's message.
I'm going to finish off this week about being connected to the supernatural. And so in 2 Corinthians 4 verse 7 it says, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." Okay, yeah, the excellence of power may be of God and not of us. "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then death is working in us, but life in you." Paul's talking about, he says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. What is this treasure that he's talking about? He's talking about the glorious light of the gospel, the knowledge of Christ. And he's saying, we've got this treasure, this wonderful, life-changing, raising from the dead revelation, but it's housed in an earthen vessel. It's talking about our bodies. It's within us. And he's saying, in our bodies, he goes on and he says, we're hard-pressed on every side, but we're not crushed. We're perplexed, but we're not in despair. We're persecuted, but we're not forsaken. So like, he's describing about some of the difficulties he's had. It's not always easy being a believer, is it? He's not talking about sickness. He's not talking even about poverty. He's talking about the opposition that you will face. When you desire to walk with God, you will face opposition. And Paul understood this. He'd been whipped several times in his desire to serve God, because not everybody's going to be happy. The devil's certainly not going to be happy, and he will stir people up. Some of those people will be people that are close to you, people that you know and that know better, and yet they'll start talking and treating you in a way that you've never seen. And it's because something's stirring them, something dark is stirring them. Anyway, so Paul's talking about how they're having all these challenges, and then it goes on, it says, "And since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke, we also believe and therefore speak, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, having spread through the many, may cause thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God." And now we're coming to the verses that we sort of really focused on last week. It says, "Therefore we do not lose heart. Even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." So I want to recap a little bit about some of the stuff that we talked about last week and then go on from there. That will be up. I'll post this one and last week's one tomorrow, and it'll be up on the website as a free download. And it would do you well. If some of the stuff that I'm sharing with you is stuff that you haven't heard before, then it would do you well to listen to part one, because I don't want to go into all the details. I just want to just recap some of the major stuff. Basically, this scripture says we don't look at the things which are seen, but the things which are unseen. And there is this theme that runs right through the scriptures that there are two realms of existence. There is the seen and there is the unseen. And you will find it right through the scriptures. And if you don't understand this, you will be baffled with a lot of things when it comes to doing what God wants you to do. Because Paul is here, he's saying, we don't look at the things which are seen, we look at the things which are not seen. Well, how can you look at something you can't see? And we dealt with that last week. You look with the eyes of faith. Look with the eyes of your spirit. Paul prayed, "I pray that the eyes of your heart would be opened." You have spiritual eyes. Not everything you see with your physical eyes is necessarily the truth. They may be facts, but they're not necessarily true. And so we don't look just at what we see with our physical eyes, we also understand that there is another realm. And I shared last week about one of the first times that God spoke to me. He said to me that there's a world around you you cannot see and you can't feel, but it's far more real than anything you can see or feel. And I'd never heard that before, ever. I didn't even understand what that meant. Anyway, that's all in last week. But I want to just recap some of this stuff that we talked about. So there's these two realms, the seen and the unseen, and it's this theme that runs through the scriptures. The seen realm is what I call the natural realm. And the unseen realm is the supernatural. And so the seen, or the natural realm, is what you perceive with your natural senses. You have natural senses. Your sense of taste and touch and sight and sound and smell. All of those five senses are required in order for you and your intellect, your mind, your will, your emotions. It's those things you need in order to engage with others in the natural realm. The unseen, the supernatural, cannot be gauged by your natural senses. You can't see it with your physical eyes. You can't hear it with your ears. You can't touch it with your hands. But it is far more real, as God said to me years and years ago. He said it is far more real than anything you can see or feel. The only way you can gauge things in the supernatural is through your spiritual senses. And you have spiritual senses. You have a sense of taste, a sense of touch, a sense of sight and sound and smell. You have spiritual senses. You've got spiritual eyes. You've got spiritual ears. You got spiritual hands. I'm just recapping the things that we looked at last week. And they're the things that you use. You've got a spiritual mind. You've got the mind of Christ. And so everything we have in the natural, there's a parallel with the supernatural. And we looked at that last week, how the reason for that is because the natural actually came out of the supernatural. The supernatural gave birth to the natural. The reason we call it supernatural is because super means above. Supernatural, above or beyond the natural. And to be connected to the supernatural means that you're connected to a higher order. If everything that you see and feel had its roots in the unseen, and it says that, we looked at Hebrews chapter 11 last week, by faith we understand that the worlds were created by the word of God, so that that which is seen was not made of that which is visible. Again, the same idea of these two realms. Everything you see was not made out of stuff that you can see. It was made out of the unseen. The natural realm is governed by natural laws. You've got laws of electricity. You got laws of thermodynamics. You got laws of buoyancy, the law of gravity. They're called laws because they're principles that are found to work all the time. It doesn't matter whether you believe in those laws or not, they are working. There's a guy that I know, he lost his life because he fancied himself as a bit of a fix-it man, but he didn't fully understand the laws of electricity, and he was tinkering with his TV, and they found him dead a number of days later. You can say, well, I don't believe in the law of gravity. It doesn't mean it's not going to work. They're laws. Well, just as the natural realm is governed by natural laws, the supernatural realm is governed by supernatural laws, spiritual laws. There are spiritual laws, and it makes no difference whether you believe it or not. Well, it makes a difference in terms of the results you see in your life. But these laws are working. If the law of gravity doesn't take a day off, well, the law of love and the law of faith and the law of sowing and reaping, they don't take days off either. And if the supernatural is a higher order, it is far more dependable. If you think that the natural laws are dependable, the supernatural laws are even more so. All we got to do is identify what these spiritual laws are, understand how they work, and we can start putting them to work for us. We can make them work for us. God deliberately designed them like that. So then the Bible becomes a book of an adventurous journey where you are seeking out with the Holy Spirit, show me more, God. He'll show you. He'll begin to open it up to you and begin to show you different spiritual laws that you can begin to activate in your own life. So there's some of the things that we talked about last week, and so I want to go on from there. I want to look at a little bit specifically about what does it mean to be connected to the supernatural and some of the consequences of that. So look with me at Matthew chapter 4 and verse 1. Matthew 4, verse 1, give me an oi when you're there. It says, then Jesus was led up. Everyone say, led up. Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterwards he was hungry. And when the tempter came to him, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and he said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. And so the devil took him to the holy city, set him up on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you're the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it's written, he shall give his angels charge over you, and in their hands they'll bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And you can read the rest of it. There's another temptation that comes in there. But I just want to bring your attention to a couple of things in this. What is it, we're looking at this issue, what does it mean to be connected to the supernatural? How, if you can't see it or feel it with your physical senses, how can you connect to it? Well, look at Jesus. We all agree that Jesus was operating right through his life supernaturally, particularly in his ministry. Is that right? He operated in the supernatural. And notice the first part of verse 1. It says, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit. To be connected to the supernatural means you're someone who allows the Spirit of God to lead you. Jesus was led by the Spirit. Right through his earthly ministry, he was led by the Spirit. He didn't know everything. Yes, he was God, but he wasn't using his God qualities when he walked the earth. Do you remember when the disciples, James and John, and their mum, came to Jesus and she said, I want you to do something for me. And he said, well, what do you want me to do? And she said, I want you to grant that my two sons will sit, one on your right hand and one on your left hand, in the kingdom to come. That's just a tiny little favor, isn't it? And he said, you don't know what you're asking. And then he looked at the boys. He said, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? What was he talking about? He's talking about how he was going to die. He said to them, he said, you guys don't know what you are. He said, are you able to drink the cup that I'm about to drink? They had locked eyes with him. They did not change their gaze at all. And they said, yep, we are. And he's looking at them, and all of a sudden he got a word of knowledge. He said, you're right. You will drink. See, he wasn't operating as God. He asked them the question because he didn't know the answer. But when they said it, the Holy Spirit showed him they will. They're going to pay with their lives for their faith. And they were willing to do it. Jesus operated in the supernatural because he was led by the Spirit. He demonstrated that for you and I. If you want to be someone who's connected to the supernatural, then you need to be beginning to develop this lifestyle where you're allowing the Holy Spirit to lead you. That's why Jess's story was so cool. Where the Holy Spirit's speaking to him and saying, it's all right, you don't need that docket. You don't need the discount. And she didn't understand that. I had the lady on the flight I was telling you about last week when I was in the US. And I was sharing with her some God stories about things that the Lord had led me to do and the fruit of it. And she said, how does that work? She said, how do you hear God? And I said, you can hear him too. And she said, really? And I said, yeah. And I said, the way you do it is you get the Bible and you start putting it before your eyes and start speaking it out your mouth. I said, the Bible is God's word. It's filled with God's thoughts. The more you fill your mind and your heart with God's thoughts, the more familiar you become with his voice. Notice also in verse 4 it says, When he was tempted, in verse 3, the devil said to him, "If you're the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." And it says in verse 4, "But Jesus answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone.'" And every temptation he responded with, "It is written, it is written, it is written." So to be connected to the supernatural means you're led by the Spirit and you allow the Word of God to become the decision maker in your life. This is how we can connect to the supernatural. Because there will be many, many things in the seen realm that you will encounter that will speak against the Word of God and against what the Holy Spirit wants to achieve in your life. The people that experience the supernatural and the miraculous are people that have learned these principles. And they've learned how to allow the Holy Spirit to lead them, and they've learned how to allow the Word of God to be the decision maker in their life, instead of what they see and what they think or what they feel. Now listen, there's nothing wrong with your physical senses. They're not evil. You need your physical senses to operate. They have great use. If you're someone who's good with your hands, you need your hands to be able to build stuff. Pete was formerly a builder. And he needed his hands. He needed his feet. He needed to be able to do things physically. There's nothing wrong with that. But we don't just get governed just with that. We get governed and we allow the Word of God and the leading of the Holy Spirit to make decisions in our life. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And he allowed the Word of God, like the devil was saying, "Hey, come on. If you really are all that you reckon you are, why don't you just turn these stones into bread?" Do you realize you'll get tempted to do things that seem like a good idea? I mean, he'd been hungry for 40 days. Sounds like a pretty good idea. Well, yeah. Not every idea you get, even if it sounds good, is necessarily a God idea. Is that right? And that's why we need to learn to allow the Spirit of God and the Word of God to make the decisions in our life. When you're connected to the supernatural, you do not get dictated by your circumstances. No amens there?
Yeah.
You don't get dictated by your circumstances. Do you realize if you read through the Gospels, Jesus never allowed a circumstance to dictate how he would act and what he would do? You read through the Gospels. Never, ever. He never refrained from healing someone because it was the Sabbath. It might upset someone. In fact, there were many times he deliberately healed on the Sabbath. Why didn't he just tell the guy, "Look, come and see me tomorrow. I'll heal you." He never allowed circumstances to tell him what he should be doing. He was listening to the Holy Spirit. He was putting the Word before him, and that's how he made his decisions. When he got in the boat and he said to his disciples, "Let's go to the other side." And they encountered the storm and they woke him up and they said, "Don't you care we're going to drown?" He didn't say, "Guys, what are you doing? Turn back. You're stupid. I was asleep. You don't go sailing in a..." Did he say that? He didn't say that. He never allowed circumstances. But how many times do I hear believers saying, "Well, you know, I know I promised this, but you know, under the circumstances..."
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Those things should not be coming out of your mouth or my mouth if we're believers. What you say must be true. And if you've given your word about something, you need to be someone who keeps your word. This is so important in every area. Not just your interactions with others, but even in your job as parents. Don't go telling your children something and then you don't carry out. Even if it's a threat, like, "If you do that again, I'm going to ground you," and then you don't do it, you're a liar.
Yeah.
And they'll transfer that to their relationship with God. "Well, God's like that because my mum and dad are like that. I can't trust what God has to say." Be a person of your word. Jesus never allowed circumstances. He didn't say to himself, "Yeah, look, I know I said we'd go across the lake, but I mean, I didn't know this storm was coming." Do you remember when the disciples came to him? He'd been preaching out in the wilderness. And they said, "Listen, we've been out here a few days. The people haven't eaten. Let's just cancel the meeting. Send them home." I don't think they... This is my opinion, okay? And you can disagree with it. And that's all right. I tend to think they weren't just thinking of the people. They were probably hungry themselves. Thinking like, "Man, what I would do for a kebab right now." Jesus, can we just cancel the meeting? We've already been going a few days. Like, they haven't eaten. Oh, we haven't eaten, but we're just thinking about them. He didn't cancel the meeting, did he? He never allowed circumstances. He just looked at them and said, you give them something to eat. And they're going like, what? Even if we had 200 denarii worth of food, that wouldn't be enough for this crowd. That's like 7 months, 40 grand. 7 months' wages. What were they doing? They were stuck in the natural. What they saw, what they felt, what they heard. They were stuck. And see, if you're connected to the natural and that's all you're connected to, you'll miss the miracle. Jesus was saying, you give them something to eat, because he was connected to the supernatural. He could see, this is no problem. We don't need to cancel the meeting. Give them something to eat. In your life, you will encounter storms. You will encounter sometimes shortfalls. You will encounter problems. What are you going to do? Are you going to stay connected to the natural? Because all you'll get then is what anybody else gets. And what happens if in the natural there is no natural solution? What happens if it's when the doctor says, there's nothing we can do? What happens if it's your boss that says, I'm sorry, you have to go. You're a good worker, but we don't need you. And if you're someone who's connected to the natural, if your shifts get cut down, or if the doctors are giving you bad news and there's nothing they can do, then you're nowhere. You're stuck. But I've got good news. There's a higher order. It's the supernatural. It governs over the natural. And we can be like Jesus. We can allow the Spirit of God to lead us, and we can allow the Word of God to make the decisions in our life. And when we do, we're connecting to something that can change this in a moment. That's why Jesus was able to take the little boy's lunch. And he was able to say to the disciples, just have the people sit down. Get them to sit in groups of 50 and 100. And he just gave thanks. It's such a, you know, it's, these things are simple, but they'll test you, hey. And the more you practice these principles, the better you'll get at it. I remember early in my marriage with Joy, we had a friend come over and visit with us, and they were leaving, and we saw them to the door, and anyway, she went walking to her car, so we closed the door and we went and sat down in the lounge. And then a few minutes later, there was a bang on the door, so I went to the door, and it was her again. And she was really flustered. And she said, oh, she said, can you help me? And I said, what's up? She said, my keys. And I said, oh, did you lock them in the car? She said, no. She said, they're locked. They're stuck. And I said, well, are they stuck in the car? She said, no. And I said, well, where are they stuck? She said, outside the car. And I said, what? She said, I put them to open the door and it won't turn, but it won't come out. So anyway, so Joy was there with me, and I just said, being the man, I said, just leave this to me, ladies. Walked over and grabbed this key, you know, it's just this little key, just stuck in the door. And I'm trying to move it to the right, it's not budging. Not even a millimeter. Move it to the left, no. Trying to pull it out, and it's not pulling out. Well, you know, like, I'm doing this for a minute or two. I'm really trying to force it. Now it's really pressing into my finger. I'm thinking, if I do any more, I might bend this and snap off. But, like, it's a hot day, and the sun's beating down on me, and these ladies are watching. Like, I'm going, come on, don't embarrass me. Like, get out. And I could not move it. And I'm getting angry, because I'm thinking, it's just a simple key. This should just come out. Come on. Like this. And the ladies are watching, and I'm going, oh man, I'm going to smash you in a minute. Just get out. Like that. And it's just not moving. Now I'm starting to sweat, partly because I'm embarrassed, but also it was a warm day. And I'm getting really fat. I'm thinking, you are not beating me. I'm going to get you out. And then Joy said, hey darling, why don't we pray? And I said, no, we're not going to pray. I said, I'm going to get this key out. I'd gone over the edge, hey. I knew it was either me or the kid. One of us was going to die that day. Oh, I was so angry. I was so frustrated. I worked on it until my fingers, I felt like It was like it was eating into my fingers. And finally, just out of disgust and frustration, I said, oh, it's just not coming out. I said, no one can get that out. And I just started walking inside the house. As I'm walking inside the house, Joy came up to the door, and there's the key. And she's just looking at it, and she said, Lord, this is just so easy for you. And she went and reached out. She didn't touch the key. She just reached her hand towards it, and of its own accord, the key turned upright and popped into her hand. And as I'm walking in the house, I heard her say, darling, jingling the keys. She was connected to the supernatural. And from God's perspective, that was so easy. I was stuck in the natural. And from my perspective, I couldn't see a way out. Now, that's a simple thing, but it can happen in bigger ways too. Is that right?
Yeah.
And we want to be a people that learn how to flow and connect to the supernatural. Have a look at Romans chapter 8. Are you getting something out of this morning? Romans 8 verse 5. So it says there, for those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. This scripture is really contrasting these two realms that we're talking about, the seen and the unseen, the natural and the supernatural. And when it talks about living according to the flesh, it's talking about being connected to the natural, I should say. And it says those who live according to the flesh, in other words, if you're connected to the natural, then you'll set your mind on natural things. When you're connected to the natural, your thoughts are dominated by natural thoughts. It says, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. When you're connected to the supernatural, your thoughts are dominated by spiritual thoughts. Yeah, it's real hard to see problems when you're connected here, when you're connected to the supernatural, because you're connected to a God that says the impossible is possible. And so you don't see the problem, you just see another opportunity to demonstrate the glory of God in your life. And it goes on, it says in verse 6, to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you're connected to the natural, you are problem focused. And it leads to death. To be carnally minded, to be connected to the natural is death. What does that mean? It leads to depression. It leads to failure. It leads to setbacks. It leads to dead ends. It leads to complications. If you stay here, see, you're a supernatural being. You weren't made just to operate in the natural. That's why Jesus was able to say, the things that I've done, you can do also, and even greater than this. We're created to be supernatural beings. And if you stay here, just in the scene, in the natural, you're limiting what you can do. And that's when it leads to death. That's why it says, to be carnally minded is death. It's failure, it's depression, it's setback, it's dead ends, it's complications. Things just get complicated when you stay connected to the natural. But it says, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. When you're connected to the supernatural, you're victory focused. It leads to life and peace. It leads to joy instead of depression. It leads to success instead of failure, to promotion instead of setbacks, to opportunities instead of dead ends, to simplicity in living instead of complications. This is so exciting. This is life-changing, you know, and this is really important. This is Christianity 101. What I'm sharing with you is not, it's not highly advanced. But I really had it on my heart to share. I did preach it a few years ago, but it didn't end up getting recorded. And when I went to the US and I preached it, I had a number of people come and say, "We've never heard stuff like this." And I said, "Get on the website." I said, "I've got a whole series on it." And then I got on the website and I thought, I couldn't find it. I thought, "Where is it?" So that's, I'm preaching it because I know that we need it, but also I know there are others that want to access it. So I'm going to, Andrew, if he, oh, you've got it up there. Okay, so verse 5 and 6, if you look there on the screen, I've changed flesh to connect it to the natural and spirit to connect it to the supernatural. It says, for those who live connected to the natural, set their minds on the things in the natural. But those who live connected to the supernatural, the things of the spirit. For to be naturally minded is death, but to be supernaturally minded is life and peace. Because the mind connected to the natural is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are connected to the natural cannot please God. Do you realize you can't please God when you just are connected to the natural? You can't. To please God means you have to walk by faith. But a person who's connected to the natural is basing everything on what they know and understand. To walk by faith means that you have unanswered questions. If you knew the answer, you wouldn't need faith. To walk by faith means that I'm not sure. I just know that this is the way I've got to go. I don't know exactly how it's going to pan out. And so the scripture says it's impossible to please God without faith. If you are connected to the natural, that's why this scripture says, those who are connected to the natural cannot please God. I've got a series on this particular thing, and that this is up on the website, by the way. There's a series that I preached about meatheads versus airheads. Because this scripture says to be carnally minded is death. Carnally comes from the Spanish word carne, which means meat. Carnally minded, meathead. To be a meathead is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Spirit comes from pneuma, which means air or breath. Spiritually minded, airhead. God wants you to be an airhead. He doesn't want you to be a meathead. And if you're interested in that, there's a whole series I've got on that on the website. Hallelujah. When you're connected to the supernatural, you're walking by faith, and so you are pleasing to God. Hey, means you're not easily ruffled by the things that happen. Doesn't mean that nothing negative happens. I mean, things just happen. Is that right? Scripture even says many are the afflictions of the righteous. But it doesn't finish there, does it? What else does it say? But the Lord delivers out of them all. So things will happen. Things go wrong. It's just part of life. But the awesome thing is you're connected to a higher order than what you see and feel. And you can stay in that realm, and you can then influence and change the realm that you see and the realm that you feel. Hallelujah. There's so many examples I could share. I want to wrap up in just a minute. I might just share two examples with you, and then we're going to wrap up. And I want to pray for some people. I remember a number of years ago, Joy had said to me, she said, I want to work, but she said, I want to work from home. And so I kind of had this idea for a while about setting up a business. And so I shared it with her. It was a home tutoring business. She didn't want to tutor, but she wanted to manage it. So I said, look, I think I'll be able to set up like a business and you can just manage the business. She said, that sounds good. And so I'm sort of cutting it short, but it was a number of months where I was seeking the Lord and praying and taking steps of faith and looked into, you know, all the processes that we need in order to be able to see this business set up. And finally it came to crunch time. Like, everything was set in place. We just needed some clients, but in order to have clients, we needed some tutors. But how can you have tutors unless you've got clients? And so I thought, oh, well, All right, well, we need to advertise now. Everything's ready. It had been quite a number of months that I'd been setting this up and thinking through the different processes. And so we advertised, and we had this guy. We had a number of applicants, but we thought, let's just start with one, you know. And so we interviewed this guy. He was a French guy. His name was Eric, and he spoke in French. Well, he spoke with a French accent. He did speak French. And I said, well, Eric, what can you tutor? And he said, well, I can tutor French, and I can tutor mathematics. And I said, well, I'm not sure about the French. I said, I'm not sure if we'll get many calls for that. I said, but the mathematics we could probably use. And I said, well, that's great. You know, and he interviewed really well. So I said, well, that's great. I said, congratulations. I said, well, we're going to take you. I said, have you got a blue card that's like a working with children's card? And he said, no, not yet. And I said, well, you need to apply for that. And I said, look, that can take up to 6 weeks. And I said, as soon as you get it, let me know and we'll get you going. And he said, all right. And so off he went. A week later, he called. And he said, I've got my blue card. I thought, wow, that's record time. And he said, when can I start? And I said, well, any day now. I said, we'll line you up. Now, we'd put a ad in the yellow pages. This is back in the day when the internet wasn't real big. And so we just believe in God. So we've got our first tutor, and we're just thinking, God, you know, like, do we hire more tutors? Like, I mean, we're ambitious. We're aiming to cover all of Brisbane. We've only got one guy on board. And I could cover as well. I could do some tutoring as well. And just thinking like, whoa. Anyway, he's saying, look, I'm really keen to work, you know, like, let me know. And he said, yep, we'll call you as soon as we get something that's in your area, we'll call you. We had nothing in any area. The next day, I got a call. And she said, look, I don't know if you can help me or not. I've called a number of agencies. She said, I've just been going through the book, the phone book. And she said, my daughter needs help with maths. I thought, oh, yeah. And she said, but it's not, she said, it's really, she said, she's in a school and she's in this program. It's a French immersion program. She said, she's being taught maths, but it's in French. She said, you wouldn't have anybody on your books who could do something like that, would you? And I said, oh, let me have a look. I'll just check our database. So I'm typing away on the keyboard, making these noises. Like, oh, actually, we do. And just someone not far from you. And that's how we got the tutoring business going. And it was a wonderful blessing. It became a wonderful stream of finances for quite a number of years for us. And it really blessed Joy, because she was able to then manage it from home and do the things. We had up to 80 tutors working for us right around Brisbane, and it was wonderful, and I'm really, really thankful. But it came as a result of just connecting. We had no idea. We'd never ever started a business. Didn't know what to do and how to do it. Where do we start and what do we do? And I know there's some here that you've got desires in your heart. Learn to develop these things that we're talking about and let the Lord lead you, because to be connected to the supernatural means you're led by the Holy Spirit and you're allowing the Word of God to make decisions in your life. Let me just share one more. Can I share one more? Is that right? A number of years ago, I worked as a bus driver, and I came home. I think it was around about 1993. And I came home, and Joy she looked really serious. And I said, what's wrong? And she said, it's Bianca. And I said, what about Bianca? She said, she's been diagnosed with cancer. And I said, oh, and Bianca was her closest friend. Like, they were the best of friends. And, I gave her a hug, and we didn't understand a lot of things about faith. We were young and still learning and still desiring to grow in these areas. And Joy said, I have to go down there. And I said, all right. I said, well, how much have we got? We didn't have a lot of money back then. We had about $300 in our account. And I said, well, just spend that and go down. She said, no, she said, that's probably enough for a bus fare. She said, the Lord's told me I have to fly down. And I said, well, how much is a flight? And she said, it's 478. And I said, well, we don't have 478. She said, I know. She said, but God's told me I'm going to fly down. And I said, well, I don't know what you want me to do. I didn't know. I'm still looking through natural lenses. She's staying here. She still doesn't understand, but she's staying here and she's saying, I'm flying down. I'm not sure how, but I'm going to fly down. Anyway, I started cooking tea, and halfway through cooking tea, she came and saw me, and she said, I need to ring now and book the flight. And I said, we don't have the money. She said, I know. She said, but I know that I have to do it right now. And I said, all right, do it. So she rings. She said, oh, I want to book a ticket down to Melbourne, return. And I went through all the process, got all the details. They said, well, that's $478. Would you like to pay now or when you collect the ticket tomorrow? So she said, oh, hang on a minute. So she cut the phone. She said, they want to know, do we want to pay now or do we want... when we collect the ticket tomorrow. And I said, we don't have the money now. She said, oh, yeah. Oh, we'll pay tomorrow, you know. And now, listen, don't do this unless you've heard from the Lord. I knew Joy well enough that I knew she could hear from God. So anyway, so she's finalized. She's, you know, the lady on the other end saying, okay, well, you know, tomorrow when you come in and to check in, she said, you come to the counter, you tell them, give them some ID, and then they'll be able to print out your boarding pass and you can then finalise the payment. Anyway, just as she's finalising all this, Micah, who was probably back then, how old were you, three? He was about 3 years old. He came running in as three-year-olds, just did a massive jump onto our double bed, and he's just jumping up and down and just kind of like yelling and screaming and doing all these things. And Joy's like pointing to him like, get him out of here, I'm on the phone. Anyway, so I grabbed him and started walking out. And anyway, Joy said, look, I'm sorry about it. And the lady on the other end, she said, oh, she said, you're a mum. And Joy said, yeah. And she said, oh, well, she said, have you heard about our Mother's Day special? And Joy said, no. She said, well, we've got a Mother's Day special this weekend. For mums, they can fly return to Melbourne and it's 264. So she was able to book the ticket. She was able to fly down. She went into Bianca's house. Bianca was just like, she was in her bedroom. All the curtains were drawn. It was like a corpse. She just, look, I guess, you know, she's connected to the natural. She can't see any hope. Joy marched in that room, threw the curtains open. She looked at her. She said, I'll give you 10 minutes to get your butt out of there. She said, otherwise, I'm going to make a coffee in the kitchen. She said, if you're not out, I'm going to come and kick you out of bed. Those of you who know Joy know that that's what she was like. Bianca dragged her sorry self out of bed, came into the kitchen, and over the next 2 days, Joy just began to speak hope into her life, began to talk to her about God's amazing ability, how he can turn night into day, how he raises the dead. She shared testimonies from her own life. And over the next couple of days, hope began to ignite in Bianca's heart. She received Christ. She became born again. And then Joy said, I'm going to lay hands on you and I'm going to pray for you. And she said, God's going to fix the inside of your body. Are you ready? And she said, yep. Joy put her hand and Joy said to me, she felt like this hot honey just pour down from her hand all over Bianca. Bianca felt like this warmth just going right over her. And Joy said, okay, well, that's it. Bianca said, well, what do we do now? And Joy said, you're going to go to the doctors, keep your appointments, I'm going home. And she said, aren't you going to stay with me? I'm due to have my operation this week. Joy said, I've done what God wanted me to do. I've got a family. I've got to go. She said, but... And she just looked at me and she said, you're going to be all right. It's all done. Joy flew home. A week later, we got a call from Bianca. She said, you will not guess what happened to me. What happened to you? She said, well, she said, they did the operation. They removed. She had to have a hysterectomy. She had, she had cancer down there. And they did a hysterectomy. And then the surgeon came in a few days later. And he said, we've tested everything, and he said, there's no cancer. He said, I have a biopsy report where we took tissue samples, and that's why I ordered the operation. And he said, you had cancer. And he said, but now you don't have any cancer. It's completely gone. Completely gone. But it came because someone was willing to connect to the supernatural. God wants this for you and me. Do I hear an amen?
This message is distributed free of charge by the friends and partners of Transformers Christian Church. If you'd like to partner with us and help send this to others free of charge, then email info@transformers.org.au. Have a great day.